Welcome to Her Bro, His Sis, a podcast hosted by sibling ministers discussing topics of faith and family.
What is going on, y'all? Welcome to Her Bro, His Sis, another wonderful episode. We're just delighted to be before you. I'm delighted to be before you, my wonderful, beautiful, talented sister, not only in Christ, but in the flesh, in the blood. So welcome to you. What do we have going on for today? We've been kind of continuing on this topic of spiritual discipline. So what do you have for us today?
I am so thrilled for this topic. It is study and meditation. Study.
Oh, let's go.
I am a lifelong student. Like I've always said to people in regular life, I always have said, like, if I could just get paid to be a student for the rest of my life, that would be my actual job, just to be a student and study and do homework and nerdy stuff, like in general life. But when it comes to the word of God, man, I love digging in, studying, devouring the word of God. So I'm just in love with this topic, and I'm just really, really excited to get into this. So when you hear the idea of the spiritual discipline of studying and meditation, like, what does that make you think about? How does it make you feel? Does it stir you? Does it excite you? Like, how do you feel personally about study and meditation?
Yeah, I'm right behind you with the study. I've definitely, over the course of my journey in the faith, it's grown tremendously. So I think, you know, younger in the faith, I loved the word, but wasn't probably a student or as studious as I am today. But yeah, studying for me today is just like, man, like any conversation I have where I could just get it in, whether it's personally or with others, like I'm a sponge when it comes to that. Meditation is definitely something that probably over the last few years has probably been more prevalent in my life than probably, whereas early on it probably was non-existent or I didn't have a good working definition of meditation. So yeah, it's definitely something that for me, they definitely go hand in hand today. But like I said, just over the course of time, like it has grown for me tremendously and I've come to just enjoy being, like you said, a student of the word.
So I can remember, like, really early on, like, in my walk with the Lord. I mean, I was saved, like, as a teenager, but, like, in my early 20s, I remember, like, always wanting to have this desire of, like, being a teacher of the Word. And I wasn't actually, like, doing that at the time in the Lord, in the church or anything. In my head, I had this lofty idea that, like, being a teacher of the Word would be just this far-fetched thing for me. But I always was, like, every time there was any kind of like deep in-depth Bible study program or classes for hermeneutics and all these different type of things in the church, like I was in that thing, even as like as you would say, early, you know, believer, because even though I had been saved before, like I always craved knowledge and I always craved deeper things. So like any opportunity to study the word, like I was all about that. So God just in his grace has progressively just poured into me. And again, like, I've been in him longer now, and I still feel just as hungry now as I did then. And so I just feel like, you know, that's just one of the beautiful things. Like the more you get to know God, the more that you begin to love the word, the more you want to know, like you're never full, you're never satisfied. So that's why this topic is so, so, so just close and near and dear to me. So I'm just, just ready to jump right in.
That's good. That's good. Well, let's go.
So coming to the word, first and foremost, we're going to pull out 2 Timothy 2 and 15. And that says to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, right handling the word of truth. So first word is study. Like that is a commandment. That is an order. That is a directive for us to study, to show ourselves approved unto God. And that word approved in the Greek means to be properly acceptable unto God, right? Unto God, not unto ourselves, not unto man, not unto someone else, but to be properly acceptable to God, a laborer who doesn't need to be ashamed, who can rightly dissect and expound the word of truth. So when we look at studying, we are talking about making effort to be diligent in applying our mind, our mental faculties to acquiring knowledge. So when we come to God, we may know of him, we know may know a few things about him, but we're ever learning things about God in his truth, his word, what he wants from us, and things like that. So it's basically encouraging us to A, make effort, and then B, apply our mind to acquire knowledge. And then another word for study is it's the work or an activity of a student. So if you consider yourself a student of the Lord, a student of the Word of God, it is your job and your duty and your activity to actually do this thing, which is study. So Timothy, we know, for most of us who are familiar with the Word of God, we know that the book of Timothy, 1st and 2nd Timothy, those were letters written from the Apostle Paul to Timothy, who was a young minister at the time. So Timothy is a student of Jesus Christ and also Paul's spiritual son. So he, again, in this instance, is telling him, hey, Timothy, you need to study to show yourself approved unto God, a worker who doesn't need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. This same thing can apply to us, though. We need to make sure that we are studying the word of God for ourselves so that we, as workers in the Lord Jesus Christ, don't have to be ashamed, and that we all, even if we're not being teachers of the word, we still impart and we still embody and live the word of God. We reflect the word of God to other people. So that way, when we are dealing with it or handling it in any way, shape, or form, we are rightly expounding and relaying the word of God by the effort that we have put in to study his word. So what do you think about that part so far?
Yeah, I love that passage because specifically there's two things that kind of point out to me, two words that point out to me, diligence and accuracy. You kind of hit it beautifully when you said like be diligent. Like we have to really give like a legitimate effort to like study the Word of God. I mean, it's not just like, hey, okay, I'm just gonna read, I'll spend an hour today. I mean, it's not just any book, right? I mean, it's the living word, it's active, it's alive, it sharpens us. We can go into, 2 Timothy 3, 16 to 17 all day long, right? But, we know that the word has a sanctifying effect. And so the fact that we're to be diligent, and then secondly, just that we're able to handle it accurately. There's many people that, can hear scripture and they'll take it out of context. And I believe we've talked about that in times past, but just the fact that we need to know how to be mature, that again, that does take work, right? So that's what I love about this is that again, you have Paul, a champion in the faith, and then you have his spiritual son. And he's like, hey, like I'm letting you know, it's not just about the ministry that you're doing. It's not about that. It's about can you yield this? You know what I'm saying? And can you give it good? Because at the end of the day, that's what stands. That's the gospel. It's not what you're doing with your hands, but do you know God well enough to be able to accurately discern good and evil, and be able to present that to others? So that's what I love. That's what kind of sticks to me when I look at that passage.
So I love that you said that last part about do you know the word of God enough to accurately discern good and evil? Because if you continue in that passage, which we won't stay there too long, but I think it's just worthy of just a nod. If you continue reading on 16 through 18, it talks about shunning profane and vain babblings because those things will increase to more ungodliness. Their word will eat as canker. Of whom is they give two names of people who are basically false people who have basically shipwrecked their own faith and they've also shipwrecked the faith of other people, Hymenaeus and Philetus. And it says concerning the truth, they have erred and then they have said that the resurrection is already past and overthrow the faith of some. So when you are studying the word of God for yourself to show yourself approved unto God, it doesn't matter what someone else has told you. Doesn't matter how many church services you attended, if the Apostle Paul told you whatever, there was a passage, I believe, in Acts where he says when he was preaching to the Bereans that they left his preaching and went to research the word to see if the things he said was true. So even when we hear the word, we need to be studying the word for ourselves to make sure that, hey, this actually is what the people are saying. They are in context. They're not twisting the word of God. They're not using it for some manipulative purpose. That's what will help us to be able to shun profane and vain babblings. That will help us to not be ungodly. That will help us to not shipwreck our faith. And it will help us to, as you said, accurately discern between good and evil, even among those who are presenting the word of God to us. So I would
So,
ask.
yeah, so I like how you said that in, because that's where I was going to go is Acts 2:42 talks about us being devoted to the apostles' teaching, right? So we know that the apostles, obviously, again, 2 Timothy 3, inspired by the Holy Spirit. So
Come on now.
we have men of God today that, will kind of claim to be inspired by the Holy Spirit or whatever the case is, and they're led and anointed and all of that. Are they devoted to the apostles' teaching? Because at the end of the day,
Sir.
there's only one Bible, right? And so if we're going to say that, hey, if we're going to be able to discern, we should be able to go back to this and be like, are you preaching this? You know what I'm saying? Because if we don't get this right, if we can't accurately discern this, we're not going to be able to tell when someone is, quote unquote, shipwrecking our faith, because we're just going to believe, hey, you in the church, you thus saith the Lord, I'm going to just roll with it. But we need to know the character of God to be able, and I think we might have mentioned this on a previous podcast in a different context, but all the same is that when you know God, it's easy to be able to then study and know what you know. You know what I'm saying? And then be able to say, I don't sound right. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, I thought that was super important that you brought that out.
That's awesome. Well, the next part I want to pull out pertaining to Timothy still is coming out of 1 Timothy chapter 4, and starting at verse 12, and we'll land at 15, and then we'll also read 16. But this again, Paul is encouraging him, and he says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be an example of the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity." Verse 13, until I come, be diligent in, one translation says, in devouring the word of God. Be diligent in devouring the word of God. Another one says, be diligent in reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine or teaching. Give attendance to these things. Hold them in your mind and apply yourself to reading the word of God. To exhortation, which in the Greek is paraklesis, which means to comfort. So he's exhorting him to be diligent in all these things, because if you devote yourself to the study and meditation of the Word of God, it will help you to be able to exhort someone, aka comfort them, be able to speak and impart the Lord in order to comfort them with the comfort you've been comforted by God with, right? And then the teaching or doctrine, as you said, there's only one word, one doctrine, one faith. So we can only come from the doctrine that comes from the Lord. So if we're studying the Word, studying the doctrine, devoting ourselves to the doctrine, that's what we will be imparting and sharing with others. Verse 15, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly or completely to them, so that your progress will be evident to all. Verse 16 says, keep a close watch on how you live and on your teaching, what you impart to others. Stay true to what is right for the sake of your own salvation and the salvation of those who hear you. So I love this section of passage because it's loaded. First of all, he's saying, don't let anyone despise you because you're youth or you seem to be naive or young in the faith. But through your living, through the example of how you will walk, because of how you are growing and being shaped and transformed by the renewing of your mind, which comes through the word of God, you will be example to other believers through how you speak, how you conduct your life, how you love others, how your faith is exhibited. And in all purity. And then again, meditate upon these things. So this is where we now introduce the meditation component on top of the study component. Because if you meditate upon all these things and give yourself entirely to them, then your fruit is going to be evident to all. Fruit is not something you can hide. It's like when they say you are the light of the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hid. So no one lights their light and then lights a candle and puts it under a basket. Like your light is lit so that others can see it. So your fruit is blossoming so that others can see it, partake of it, and so forth. And then again, just closing that section with, keep a close watch on how you live and on the things that you relay unto others, the things that you impart to others, because when you do what's right, it's going to basically ensure that your salvation is secure and that others that choose to hear, receive, and obey what you're saying, it's going to secure their salvation as well. I want to say one other thing before I turn it over to you about meditation. So we already discussed what study was. Meditate is to revolve in your mind in order to gain a greater understanding and to be changed by God's truth. So not only do you want to understand it, but you want what you understand to change you. And then you are caring for, attending to, practicing it, You're thinking and reflecting upon it, and you're allowing deep contemplation to happen. So, my school example, like I like to reference often, is you meditate using flashcards to help reinforce your study material. So, part of your study routine, if you recall back in the day when we would have a chapter that we would go through in school and we're going to be tested at the end of the week or at the end of next week, you would make flashcards because you've studied a chapter. And in order to remind yourself of the things that may be on the test, you make these flashcards to help you reinforce the study material, to study, to turn it over in your mind, the knowledge that you studied, so that A, you will pass the test that you are going to be given, and B, you'll have a greater fluency of the things that you understand or that you claim to understand. The floor is yours.
I'm taking notes. I'm taking notes. That last thing you said was deep. And I don't even know if you know what you said. I'm sure you know. But you said something about passing the test and it's to help you gain a greater fluency. What is the point of fluency? I'm gonna let you marinate on that because I was gonna go somewhere else, but I want you to kind of just either elaborate on that piece, but like, what is the point of being fluent?
Are you genuinely asking me this as a question?
And I can answer either way, but but when you think about like passing, spiritually speaking, obviously, like reading the word and being fluent in the word of God, what is the point of that fluency?
Obviously, when you're fluent in something, let's look at a language, right? It means that it's there for immediate like recall and immediate use, right? So if you're fluent in a language, you can just, it comes right off of your tongue. So when we're fluent in the Word of God, that means it's deposited in us. We know it, we comprehend it, and we're able to, it pours out at the time of need. So when this goes down, boom, I have the scripture for it. Whether it's a necessary quotable, it is written, or thus saith the Lord, or it is written, in our heart, the Word of God is hidden in our heart. Like Psalm 119:10 says, that we may not, A, sin against Him, but also B, that it helps undergird us for whatever situation we're looking at. It can be a reminder to not be afraid. It can be a reminder that, hey, I'm with you. It can be a reminder to go forth in confidence. It can be a reminder of whatever that thing is that you need comfort or just strength of God's ever presence in your time of need. Like literally, the word is there for everything. So that's what the fluency I believe of the word of God is for. Did you have
Yes.
something else on top of that?
Nope, that was perfect. Because I wanted to, I just had this one liner, so I needed you to just elaborate on it so I could just spit this and let you go. But basically, you don't study to know God intellectually, you study to know God intimately. So when you say fluency, we tend to study because we want to know something, but you beautifully said that fluency is for use. So the fact that it's not just like, oh, I just want to learn French because, you know, I want to learn French. You're actually using French because you want to be able to speak the language. So spiritually speaking, you can't speak the language if you don't know. But
Come on here.
it's not just knowing God. It's like, oh, I know who the Lord is because I preached a sermon a couple of weeks ago about, you know, we know that God is God. Like, heathens know that there is a God, whether they believe him or not. But do you know God for yourself enough to be able to be like, yeah, that's my God? You know what I'm saying? Like, he's
That's
just a
right.
lowercase God to you, but to us, like that's all caps, G-O-D, you know what I'm saying? So for us to know God intimately means that we're able to take what we've learned to use internally. It's not just like, oh, I just know this, but we know God, which now allows us to be obedient to him because the study is just to hear it and receive it. And I know you love the hear, receive, obey, but that's the study is hear and receiving. The obedience is knowing God intimately, you know what I'm saying? So that we can
Yes.
apply what we want to use. So I'm gonna let you take that where you want to take it, but I wanted you to get that out because I know this is all you. So go forth with what you got to say on
Is all us. So this is
that.
always all us. You know, I love it. I'm no me without you, so. All right. So I'm gonna take us to Psalm 1:1 through 3. And this takes us about another step on the meditation point. So that says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, following their advice and example, But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. In all that he does, he prospers. So each of these scriptures is like leading us into the next scripture. So I'm not gonna give away the next one, but I do just kind of want to walk through a couple things on this one. It's saying that the person who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked, following their advice and example, is blessed. And it says this person delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on the law of the Lord day and night. And because this individual meditates on the law of the Lord day and night, he is like a tree planted by water that yields its fruit in season, and everything that he does will prosper. So if we do not delight in the law of the Lord, we won't meditate on it day and night. And so one of the things I wanted to kind of like plug before we even continue this is when you were talking about your one-liner fluency being for use, studious students study to indulge themselves in their work to be the best that they can be. So that kind of goes with like what you were talking about, fluency is for use. And the more you study, the more you want to know, which is like what I kind of personally testified in our introduction. The less you study, the less you want to know. So how much you want is up to you. If you choose not to study, that shows that you don't delight in the law of the Lord. You can't say, I don't have time for this, I have that, I have kids, I have job, I have wife, I have this, I have that. That's not an excuse to not study the Word of God. We're not sitting here telling you what time limit you have to do to devote to study. But again, I go back to my school example. Anybody past or present, because we do have adult students in here sometimes, you devote yourself to study. When you have an assignment to do, when you have a test coming up, you make time around work, around family, around children, around spouse, around recreational activities, around whatever other obligations you have. You make time and you don't set a time limit. You just say, this needs to be done because I have this due, and you get it done, right? So when it comes to the Word of God, which is even weightier than the natural things that we apply our mind and our faculties to pass this test and then forget the information because we're just cramming it in for now and it's going out the window once the test is over, right? When we study the Word of God, we study it for permanent lifelong retention because this stuff never goes away. Because this test that we're taking this week, next month is right now, but that thing can roll back again 3 months from now, a year from now, and you're going to need that same information again at some point in time. So we're not just taking the information just to have a temporary, like, let me know this for now, let me cram and get it in, and then boom, pass the test and I'm done with it. No, this is forever. You need this all the time. You need this all the time. So what are your thoughts concerning that part?
Yeah, so two things. So you mentioned that, there might be people who say, I don't have enough time for study. I'm a big sports person. I love fashion. There's a lot of things, we have our own desires, hobbies, whatever the case is. But you couldn't talk to me about, and right now it's NBA playoffs. So, that's like for me the best time of the sports year. You know what I'm saying? You couldn't talk to me about anything related to basketball and me not know it. Like if I said, okay, like who's your team? And I know you're a Warriors fan. I couldn't ask you, hey, do you know who Steph Curry is? And you not know. You know what I mean? Not know
Exactly.
his stats. Oh yeah, he averaging 25. He's top five in MVP voting. Like we know these things. Like we're studying sports. We're studying. Okay, the latest kicks just came out. We're studying. Fashions and trends and all. So we're looking at something. Whether it's just I'm just reading the news. I'm scrolling down Facebook. Like we're actively studying and gaining knowledge of things, whether we would call that studying or not, right? Because we're wanting to be relevant, we're wanting to know something. So we have that piece going on, right? But then I like how you use that the passage in Psalm 1 where you says his delight is in the law of the Lord, verse 2, and in his law he meditates day and night. So let's just take studying out the way. I don't have time to study. I don't have time to watch games. Okay, take one passage and meditate because it doesn't take time per se to read. You're actually now just soaking it in. So you could be in the car, you could be walking, whatever that is, where you feel like, man, I don't have time. you can meditate in the time where you would actually be reading. So there's never an excuse to not get the word, because I like how it says that, you know, he's meditating. So that means that it's already deposited. And I like how you use that word. It's already given to him. Now he's just regurgitating that and reflecting on what he already knows. So there is a portion of time where you have to study, right? But now it's kind of like the higher education or that continuing education where now you're just kind of meditating and you're just kind of bringing it back to you. So yeah, I love the picture of that, because I think that we have to understand that if we don't do this, we're not going to yield the fruit that those three verses said. He will be like a tree firmly planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season. Like, we have believers that will tell us, man, you know, I'm struggling with this, or I'm going through this. And what do we usually give to them when they go through that? The word. You know what I mean? So again, your own personal study, your own personal word allows you to be able to yield fruit, because that's what you're hanging on. That's the hope that you have when you encounter those situations. So that's the beauty of being able to study and meditate, is again, it's not just to know about God, but it's to then be able to have that immediate fluency to be able to say, oh, I know this. There is hope. Like, I lift my eyes to the hills from whence comes my help. Like, we can now then just like quote those little quote unquote cliches because we've meditated that. Like, now it's not just like, oh, okay, that's cool on a t-shirt, but that's like, that's me. You know what I mean? Now I can like throw that out. So that's the beautiful thing about meditation, is that the Lord, and I don't know if you mentioned the scripture earlier, but like, will quicken your spirit to remind you of those scriptures once they've been deposited into your bank.
I love that. So you talked about actively studying sports, and you know, just to kind of like add on to that example, like of how we are unintentionally or inadvertently meditating, you know, when you are allowing yourself to even hear sports radio all day long, the same exact things on ESPN, Fox Sports, or whatever else, the same stuff, every last one of them are saying over and over again. You watch First Take, then you watch Get Up, then you watch PTI, then you watch, you know, NBA Today, and all of them said the same exact stuff, and you watched every last one of them. You are meditating on that information because you're hearing the same stuff over, and this is willingly because you delight in it. And mind you don't mind hearing them say the same thing over and over again because you still chose to not turn it off and turn it on to something else. So I'm just saying, we have the capacity. Where we direct it to is the thing. So
That's good.
I also want to just say that when it comes to like you were saying, like even if you don't study a chapter or whatever, one verse, just let that be something you meditate on. For example, you can take thoughts from Sunday service that week, and if you can remember, you know, what the points are, for example, they have 3 points. You remember those 3 points, and those points really spoke to you. If you literally just meditate on what those 3 points were through the week, every single day, and use those points to guide you through the week, or use those as prayer points and meditation points throughout the week, like you're hitting the prayer point and you're hitting meditation all at once, because now you're just soaking in what was given to you on Sunday. So on top of that, I just wanted to kind of plug this point here about devotional reading versus Bible study, because devotional reading is passive and Bible study is actually active. So when you are reading devotionals, I'm not saying that don't read devotionals. I'm not saying that, you know, you're wrong if you do this, but I am saying that it's a cop out to only do devotional and not Bible study. You need to be doing both. So devotionals, the work or the study is already done for you. Someone else studied, they package it up for you, and you're blessed by it, right? Active study is you taking the word of God for yourself to show yourself approved, like Timothy said, 2 Timothy that we first started with. And then you are finding that revelation. God is speaking to you personally, and he's giving you things that you can now impart to somebody else. Not to say that you have to package it up in a devotional, but you can now minister to someone else what was ministered to you. So devotional reading is nice because at least it's giving you the opportunity to have something to meditate on through the day, but that's a meditation offering, not the study portion. The study portion is you sitting down with something to find out like what is God saying to you specifically for you, not what did he say to this person. This person told you what the Lord, how the Lord blessed them to tell it to you to encourage you. What are your thoughts on that part?
First of all, that's good, because I think, you know, most people probably wouldn't see the differences between the two, but I like how you said that we're not necessarily having to dig per se. And again, it kind of goes back to, ensuring that the devotional is sound and how we know that if we're not studying for ourselves and allowing that personal revelation to then allow us to go back and discern whether or not this is accurate. I mean, I've done a couple of devotions where I thought, man, I don't know if I would have said it that way. I don't know if that's like, are they truly seeing that the way I would have saw it? Not to say that this person was bad or had false theology, but just sometimes that you could have that. And so not having any study at all, you would never even be able to discern that. You would never be able to go back and say, hey, did you mean this when you said that, or was this a typo? Things like that. So we would just take it as the gospel or thus saith the Lord. So I love how you package that. And I think it is true that if somebody is doing that work, like what are we doing to take advantage of the fact that somebody did do that work? Like, are we then going and now being accountable to the fact of, okay, I didn't necessarily do the study, but because there is fruit in the fact that someone else did the study, what can I now then either A, meditate on, or even take this further and then go do some study on that same topic and start to dig
Exactly.
it in. So I think that, definitely being able to see the difference between like what our responsibility is and what our role is in those two, I think was just beautifully done. Nothing else to add to that.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to take us over to Joshua chapter 1, and we're going to read 7 and 8. And this kind of just adds on to the Psalms part of chapter 1 when it talked about meditation. So, verse 7, it says, "Only be strong and very courageous, that thou may observe to do all according to all the law. Turn not from it to the right or to the left, that thou may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make thy way prosperous and shall have good success." So this was the Lord basically saying this to Joshua because he was getting ready to take over for Moses, who passed away. So he's taking the torch, leading the people into Israel. And he is like encouraging him, hey, as I told Moses these commandments and relayed to him the law, he imparted it to you and the children of Israel. So I want you to be strong and courageous. How can we be strong and courageous? By meditating and studying the word of God so that God can fortify our minds and our spirits. Peter tells us to gird up the loins of our mind, right? So we need to, we can't be courageous and strong without the Lord or outside of his word. It's not by might or by power, but by his spirit. So, and only through that can we learn how to do what he says. How can we learn how to do what he says outside of the word? We have to read the word to do it. And he says, don't turn from it to the right or to the left, because you will prosper wherever you go. And the word should not depart from your mouth. So just like you were saying earlier, it's a regular thing that you enjoy, and every opportunity that you get, you personally love to get it in conversationally about the word of God. And I know there are some people who are probably irritated by us that that is how we roll. They're tired of always having to see the conversation, go that direction. But unless you're like that spirit and you delight in the Lord too, and you delight in the word too, like you are going to be like, dang, like they're always talking about the Lord. Like, man, why are we always going to talk about the Lord? Why are we always going to talk about the word?
Be right
Because we love the word of God. Because he is life, he is spirit. The word that he speaks, their spirit and life, he is everything, right? So, I mean, when you just love God and you love his word, like, that's just what's going to come out. It says, out of the abundance of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. So if that's the abundance of your heart, hey, that's what's up in there. So what do you want? And then he says, but you should meditate in the word day and night so that you can observe to do everything that's in it. So that's the only way you're going to make sure that you do what it says, by meditating in it day and night. It talked about in, I think it's Proverbs, where it says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to the word of God. But I can't cleanse my way if I don't know what the word of God tells me in order to take heed to it, right? So it all is coming back to the word. We can't get away from it. And he says, only then shall you make your way prosperous, and only then will you have good success. You've got to delight in the word of God. Sometimes we're thinking we're living a blessed life, but let me tell you something. God says that he reigns on the just and the unjust. So if you're not delighting in him, your blessings They ain't really blessings. You might feel like you're living a blessed life from God, but he's raining on the evil just as much as he's raining on his children. And if you're not in the word doing what he's saying, you're liking the stuff more than you're liking him. And you really have to examine yourself. And that's where when we are in the word and we're reading the word and we're examining ourselves according to the word, that's when we can start noticing, like, Lord, am I really putting you before all these things? And Lord, examine me, see if there be any way in me. We can start praying the prayers of David. We can start inviting God to examine us and show us ourselves. So I'm just
Are
saying,
you?
I keep going, but I'm gonna just let you get in here.
I'm just going to continue real quick, because we're talking about trials and all of that, and obviously he's commanding them to be strong and courageous, and you've already said, how can they do that? By sticking with the word. I love verse 9, and it says, "Have I not commanded you?" Again, he's saying it again. Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I'm just going to put this plug out there. Sometimes people think that God is not with them when they go through something. Like, that's when they think, okay, like, because my situation is negative, like, the Lord has left me.
Yes.
How do we know that the Lord is with us? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Word, if the Word is with you, if the Word is in you, God ain't left. You know what I'm saying? So we're looking for his tangible presence, which he's obviously always there as well, because he's indwelling. We are temples of the Holy Spirit, so we have that peace. But sometimes we don't feel that or sense that when we're going through hard times. Although Psalms 23 told us, which again, if you're in the Word, we can point to the Word that will bring us back to, okay, God's character is God's character, because he says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." So the fact that we can get to the Word, we can go through these hard times because we recognize, like, Lord, even though I don't feel the same way I feel all the time, like, I'm not swayed by my emotions. I'm swayed by you. Like, the fact that I'm in you and rooted in that, it says that's what makes my way prosperous. So not me thinking that, oh, if I do this or that, like, this is what's considered success. It's, I have you. That's success enough. And if we can get that picture and that mindset of, like, if we're always with the Lord and the Lord is always with us, like, nothing can separate you from the love of God. And we have to hang our minds on the, and again, we're talking about a whole bunch of cliche verses, but again, like, these are life-giving when you're actually in the moment and you're like, man, like, where's God? Well, God has always been there, and your theology is shaped by the fact that you've been in the Word, not that your circumstance is like, oh, this makes me think about God this way because I'm in this situation. So we have to stay connected to the Word, because that's what gives us the promise and the hope that has always been present.
Yeah, I love that because I was this close to quoting that in Psalm 101. You already know that's my jam. So I'm glad that you put it there because I was this close to saying that one already. But
I didn't want you to have to preach, so
we're
I
same
was trying to keep
spirit.
you.
Thought that. Gosh. Well, my next thing is Second Peter. So moving on to him, one. And 12. So I'm going to start there, 1 and 12. He says, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of things, though you know them and are standing firm in the truth you have been taught. Verse 13. And it is only right that I should keep on reminding you as long as I live. Verse 15. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. So what things is he talking about? Well, this is the chapter that he talks about adding to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness. And then he says, and if these things be in you and abound in you, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in your knowledge of God. So I'm not going to be negligent in always reminding you of these things, even though you know them, right? When we're younger, we don't like being told stuff that we already know. I already know that. I know. Gosh, I already know this. Why are you telling me stuff I already know? Well, when it comes to the things of God and the word of God, that is not allowable in the kingdom of God because You already know, but you can't think too highly than you ought to of yourself at any time, right? Because we need to take heed to ourselves in case we fall, just because I already know that. You may know this right now, but you haven't seen it in every way that it can come at you at every stage and phase and age of your life. So you have to be constantly reminded because, I mean, what makes any of us think we have the actual Word of God, the packaged, entire canonized Bible, okay, to see the things that God generously let us see from the mistake of all the people in times past, from the old to the new, and we still have the nerve to act up and forget how to do what we're supposed to do when we're supposed to do what we're supposed to do. And those people didn't even have the luxury of this Word of God, this canonized book, to help them do the right thing. And even when they had the book of the law that he encouraged them to meditate in day and night, do you know, folks were still acting a fool. People still didn't do what they were supposed to do. And even when Jesus Christ was walking the earth with the apostles and the disciples, those brothers were still acting a fool and not following the Lord and still arguing with each other and still not showing faith and still not believing God after he fed the 5,000. Then they forgot that quick about the loaves. And he's like, did you not learn anything? Have you not seen? Like, come on now. You get to the 4,000 and you forgot that quick that, hey, we were just here like last month and the Lord provided for these 5,000 people and we got 4,000 and he can't do it again. So we have to be reminded, okay? Because we don't know how to act without reminders. So don't act like you're too good to post stuff that you already know, okay?
The podcast is over. No,
It's
you
not.
are, because it's over. It's
It's
over. Wow. Oh man, I'm a try. I'm a try. Oh goodness, that line right there. Wow. I mean, yeah,
felt that. I'm
I'm just
sorry.
gonna throw it out there. I pray that it sticks. I was just gonna go back a chapter, because you talked about just being, being reminded. He said, First Peter 5:8, be of sober spirit, be on the alert, because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. So he's obviously talking to believers in this passage. We have to be on guard. We have to be alert. We have to be aware. And the fact that, like you said, oh, I know this. Like, we're reminded of stuff because even though we know, those are the things our parents didn't want us to forget. So, like, look both ways across the street. Like, okay, duh,
Yes.
right? Like, who wouldn't? But accidents happen every day, right? You know what I'm saying? So the fact that those things
Yes.
were repeated to us is because they wanted to make sure that when we got to the street, that nagging was like, oh, yep, they're going to tell me to look both ways. Like, I can already feel and sense, like, this is what they're going to say when I get to this point. That's
Yes.
Paul's heart is like, I'm going to keep telling you because when I'm not here, you're still going to feel me because I done told you 1,000 times. So, like, that's what I want you to
Yes.
feel when you get to that situation and I'm not present. And that was obviously Jesus's heartbeat is like, I'm going to continue to give you this. And that was the point of discipleship. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to show you, I'm going to be around you and continue to push you. So when you get there, you already know better and you know what time it is. So yeah,
Yeah.
love it.
Well, the last thing I have is just still from Peter, and it's in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. And he said, "This second epistle I now write to you to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you should remember what the holy prophets said long ago and what our Lord and Savior commanded through us, the apostles." So this, when I read that scripture this time around specifically, it brought me back to you, my brother, because you were the primary person behind our episode on reminders and revelations. And so, if you can just kind of like touch on that whole thought that you talked about, what a reminder was and what revelation is, this kind of connects that because Peter is saying, like, I'm telling you this just like I did in my first epistle. The purpose of this is to stir your mind in order to remind you to remember what the prophet said and what we are saying to you. And this is going to carry you along evermore through basically the rest of time until the Lord comes back. So what can you add to that, pertaining to your thoughts on that reminders and
Yeah,
revelations?
so basically I believe that anytime you come to a scripture, that it's either going to be a reminder or a revelation. So if you're hearing it for the first time, that's going to be revelation. And we know that revelation is usually the awakening or the opening of your mind, and then now you're supposed to do something with that information. And so obviously if we read the word and it should translate to application, then that revelation is, okay, thank you, Lord, for this. Now, what do I do with it? A reminder is you've already received the revelation and you're now being reminded, hey, like there was some application to be done with that revelation. Like, what are you doing with that? So, I believe that at any point, at any scripture, at any time in your life, you're going to come to one of those two points is, I didn't know that. Thanks for telling me. Or, yeah, I knew that and I need to do something with that.
That's really what the, and I feel like that's the whole point of like what I feel like people should take away from even this whole idea of study and meditation. Like we're studying for either A, the purpose of acquiring brand new information, or reinforcing stuff that we have already known, right? Because even when you look at, and again, I want to bring out, non-spiritual studies. When you're in medical fields, when you're other academic fields, and you're studying material, if you're not constantly keeping yourself abreast of that information, you lose the agility of like knowing what things are, like anatomy, physiology, math, like literally any subject, history. If you don't constantly keep those dates of wars, right, of presidents, the order of presidents, the length of terms of presidents, what countries fought what countries were allies. Like, if you don't keep that stuff, the Pythagorean theorem, pi, if you don't keep that stuff, like how to figure equations, please excuse my PEMDAS, my dear Aunt Sally, right? I'm saying, like, if you don't keep that stuff fresh, you will not know the fluency of how to use the information. So, or apply the stuff that you used to know. So it could be like, yeah, I heard about that before. Like, people who used to be in the word back in the day. Yeah, I heard about that before, but you can't recall a scripture. John 3:16. If that was something you learned when you were five and you had to recite that thing for 25 years, you leave the word of God and then, you never open the book. You might remember a portion of it. Oh man, I think it said something about God loving the world. What else? Like we start losing, agility of the scriptures. So it's just really important for us to acknowledge that any other endeavor or any other course of study in our life that we apply our mental faculties to requires us, in order to really have that fluency that we discussed earlier, we have to keep it constantly rotating in our minds, and some kind of rhythm or some kind of, that's why a lot of professions make their people re-up on their certifications to make sure that they stay like sharp on, hey, this is what you need to know to prove you still know these things, or to recertify your license or whatever the case may be. You have to continue to recertify every 2 years or whatever the case is, that you don't forget the information, how to use it, what the things mean, and what the things, that pertain to your particular field. So I just hope that that really kind of makes sense to everyone who is going to listen to this or consider this and just apply it to the word and decide that, I really do need to get better and I do need to dig in some way,
Yeah, no,
somehow.
that's good. And hopefully, one of my favorite scriptures is Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is alive and active. I would hope that, people don't treat it, and I do this, and I'm super guilty of this, is when I go on airports or airplanes, I'm not listening to the people who are giving me the spiel at the beginning, because I've been on plenty of planes. They're saying the exact same thing. But I guarantee you that if that plane goes down, I'll probably be like, hey, miss, like, is it like this? Like, because I don't care anymore, right? And I probably lost a lot of that because I'm not really paying. I can put my seatbelt on, but that's about it, right? So I hope that we don't treat the word like that, where it's just like, oh, I read that passage already. Because I think sometimes, and I told a joke about, a couple years ago, my son's 13, but a few years ago, he had went through basically, we had been at the church for a while, so they went through the whole book of the whole Bible in a year. And so he's like, Dad, I don't have to read the Bible anymore. I'm like, bro, you ain't graduated. Like, I've been saying 25 years, I'm still reading the Bible. Like, that ain't like, catechism and you're done, like you graduate, like now you gotta keep going. So I feel like sometimes people might even be like that, spiritually speaking, where they're just like, yeah, like I've read that, I've done that book, like let me move on to something else. Like, I hope that we realize, and again, I brought up Hebrews 4:12, is because when you read it again, it's going to hit you differently. And not to say that the meaning is different, because the meaning is always going to be the same, because God meant what he meant. But how it shapes you and how it stirs you and what it does today might not be what it was last year. So to always continually be refreshed, the doctrine is going to be the same. So we're not trying to say change your theology the next time you read the Bible. But the hope that you have, the faith that you have, the encouragement of the word that you have should be stronger as you mature in the Lord and as you read it multiple times. I have just a couple of questions for you. I don't know if you had anything else, but just one on study and one on meditation. And you could just kind of take it where you want, but regarding study, what should people study? Like, do you feel like there's any particular topics that come to your mind? And obviously, it's not going to be a comprehensive list, but just anything that comes to your mind about, what do we talked about knowing God and being able to discern the knowledge between good and evil. What do you think there are some things that people should study, and what should they know about the word?
Well, it depends on like where your level is of, I guess where you are in the Lord with your relationship. I would say like for me early on, it was really helpful for me to do topical studies and word studies. And when I mean word studies, I mean literally a word, and then that word, just wherever God led me to, with that one word. So if it was about faith, then just whatever God gave me, I'd start in one place and then just go from there. Hebrews 11 is a great place to start for faith, right? But then it can just go all kind of places. Topical studies. One thing that I can tell you, like I was doing this kind of stuff before the Bibles started getting super helpful in telling you, like, here, turn here if you need scriptures about hope, turn here if you need scriptures about encouragement, turn here if you need scriptures about depression, blah, 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 blah. So I was doing this when the Bible was just the Bible. There wasn't no extra, like, turn
Have
here,
to
turn
have a
here, turn
look.
here. So I was finding things myself, right? So Bibles have come a long way since that. And I mean, I say that as if I'm 50 or 60 or 70 years old, but like,
Well,
we've
especially King James.
advanced a
King
lot
James is just
in,
like, hey, I'm just gonna give it to
40
you.
years
That's all
of
you get.
life. So straight up. And that's all I was doing with King James for the long time. Like long, seriously, that's a whole nother thing because, King James was like, at one point, everything else is just blasphemy if it ain't King James, but we've come a long way. So, anyways, I digress. But yeah, so I would say like topical studies to help people get in there, and then really just kind of if you're not too, and again, it varies on the person. I'd say like doing book studies in the New Testament first. And then just getting yourself like acclimated in there, and then venturing out back to the old. For me, for the longest time, I was just a straight Old Testament head. I still love the Old Testament tremendously, but I have migrated to the new because obvious reasons. But I mean, yeah, it's just start somewhere. And again, I think it just depends on where you are with your relationship, how long you've been in the Lord, how long you've been in the Word. So I'm not expecting somebody who's like been in the Lord for like a year to just dive in and like do some in-depth studies, but I feel like anybody can do topical studies, anybody can do word studies, because those are things that can really help you on a day-to-day real life application. The other stuff is just for like your knowledge, your own like, just in-depth research and just really getting into the nitty-gritty
That's
of the
good.
other type
So,
of thing.
I like how you were kind of vague but deep at the same time. So, just a personal example of a word study is, and most people that have been around the faith know Psalm 23, you know, Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, all of that. We probably brush through that, and that is such a profound passage, especially, and you could do that topical and word, so let's just do both. But, you know, I've done a topical study just on Psalm 23, and was super good, like it went through each verse and just kind of went through all of that. But then I did a word study specifically on shepherd. Now, obviously, it's we're reading in English and we know, okay, what all of those words mean. But when you actually break down what shepherd meant to them, blows the whole thing out of water.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to blow it for you and like give you the kind of ins and outs of that. But I would encourage you to do it. If you haven't done that or you don't know what that means, I would say that's a good start, because I'm telling you what, like you can read it, but then once you then know the impact, and that might even just help you personally just in your faith, because then when you understand what a shepherd is, like that's even a whole nother level. So
yeah.
I like how you were, again, just vague, but it opens the door to so many different things, because whether young or old, mature or immature in the faith, like doing those things, like there's never a, hey, I graduated and I don't have to do this anymore. Like it's for everybody. And so I like the fact that you didn't give any specific topics, but at the same time, you kind of gave a way to study. So appreciate that answer. Anything on that before I move to meditation?
I just want to add one other thing with what you just said. I did share this a little bit when we did the journaling episode, but with that word study, so like, you know, I do a word of every year for myself, like a focus word for every year. So that can be a topic of study as well. So for me, my word for the year is courage. And so I have a focus scripture, which is basically that Joshua scripture that we just kind of covered a little bit. But then other scriptures the Lord has given me in addition to that one as my main scripture. And then as I have gone through the year, like he continues to minister other scriptures about courage and about just the whole topic of what he's shown me about being courageous and just all that he's been ministering to me in this year so far about courage. So it's not just a one time, one day, one week. This is like, since it's my focus word for the year, I'm literally as God, like as I'm meditating on it throughout the week, throughout the months, throughout the year, whatever I get, I'm journaling about. So I'm kind of like hitting a couple of birds with that stone, having the focus word, having that journaling thing, and then having this meditation piece and study as well. So just want you to know that we can incorporate multiple disciplines in one. Just like you were talking about doing it as the topic of the shepherd and then doing it as the chapter of, you know, Psalm 23.
So. Good. All right. And then last question again about meditation is it better to read a lot without meditation or read a little with meditation?
I personally would say it's better to read a little with meditation, because the little bit that you read and meditate on, it's going to sink in, it's going to get rooted in you, and it has much more power. So the quantity doesn't mean anything if the quality is not there. That's just honestly all the time. It doesn't matter how, if you read a whole book, if you can't retain anything, if you can't, if there's nothing, even when you hear a sermon, you know, you heard all that word for an hour or 30 minutes and you leave there and can't tell me one scripture or one point or one thing that stayed with you, that what was the whole quantity for that you just allowed yourself to hear if one thing didn't resonate with you? So if you left that whole thing and only one thing was with you, focus on that one thing. I'd rather you just have one thing that you are literally diving into. And I'm not me personally, I'm saying even the Lord, you know, like Paul says, I'm saying this by permission, the Lord even would appreciate you being diligent, applying your mind, applying your spirit to really and truly just think upon and reflect upon that one little passage, than thinking that you're doing something with all this, like, Lord, I did all this, but then you're doing with it. So that's my personal opinion about that.
Yeah, and I just like how, you know, all the scriptures we read today point to meditation. Obviously, study is important, but study alone isn't going to get you anywhere if you're not meditating. And so the fact that there was just such this, you know, because again, people say, oh, I read the Bible, I just kind of let the Bible play. But like, if that application or that meditation isn't leading to a delight and a true joy to observe what you studied, then you really accomplished nothing. And so I just love how the emphasis was really on meditation, because you can't meditate without studying. So it's not like you could do it on its own, because you have to have something in order to be able to meditate. So you've had to have gotten somewhere in order to do that. So not to say that we're poo-pooing studying, but obviously meditation, we have to get to that place where that's equally as important, where we're getting there. So, what does Philippians 4 say? Think on these things. It's not just about, oh, know that these things are important, but think on these things. So, yeah, love it, man. Love it. Any final words?
Go forth and study the word of God, but know that, we have this. And what I just noticed right now is that this is the first topic I think so far that had two together in the title. So, prayer was by itself, the journaling was by itself, the fasting was by itself, but study and meditation go together because technically you can't really have one without the other. So just I encourage you, however you have to get it in. And if you need to reach out to somebody to get you jump started, feel free to do that. And listen, we're always available and willing, whether you physically know us or not in person, you know us by now by spirit. You can reach out to us in any way, shape, or form, and we are willing to help you however we can if you feel that that's something that you would like us to help you do. So I just encourage you to get in there and learn to delight in the Lord because, once you taste and see that the Lord is good, I mean,
Yes.
man.
And let me just
There's
throw this
nothing
plug
like
out there,
it.
because I know we were doing this for a minute. Is and we can, DM us, we'll give you handles, all of that. Is we be putting out devotions, sometimes. So hey, if you're on YouVersion, you're like, hey man, let's do a devotion together, we will do it. Again, whether we know you or not, if you're listening for the first time, like, hey, I'd love to get it in with somebody, we will get it in with you. You know what I'm saying? We'll do a 5 day or 14, whatever it is. Like, we're about that. So like I said, DM us if you want that. We can make that happen. Or even just, again, just to have a conversation, whether it's, social media, whatever the case is, like, we will engage. So, this is not just, because people are looking. Like, we genuinely love to get it in. We get it in together. So, if the more the merrier, you know what I'm saying? That ain't just, a cliche. That's real talk. Like, I'd love chopping it up. So if that's you and you want to get it in, we will make that happen.
Well, I will pray us out. Thank you so much for just being my awesome twin that you are and making this a fiery,
Oh,
fiery, wonderful
don't forget who
episode.
dropped
So I love you so much and
the
I'm
mic.
picking back
Please
up
do.
to say the prayer though. Oh God, you are so good. And we just love you so much for who you are. We just love you because you're God and you are our Father and you are our Creator, you are our Maker. And we are just grateful for your word. We are thankful that you have given us the word and that you open up our understanding to be able to comprehend your word, that you have chosen us as your children, as your vessels. To even understand it, because we know that not everyone has understanding, not everyone is chosen. So God, we just thank you that you love us. We thank you that you have enlightened us, and we thank you, God, just for the desire in our hearts that you even give us, because you said that it is your spirit that's at work within us to desire and to even do of your good pleasure. So Lord, please help us all. Help us to just do your will. Help us to be studious students of your word, and help us to be willing to meditate on your word without competition of other things. Help us to prioritize your word above other things in our life. Help us to desire your word in a greater and deeper way, Lord. And just continue to show us more and more glorious things of your word, because we've never arrived when it comes to the truth. We've never arrived when it comes to the knowledge of you. We're constantly learning until you come back for us, Lord. So thank you for this opportunity to get into your word as kingdom family. And please just bless your people as we delight in you and as we delight in your word and as we observe to do of what you ask us to do, Lord. Cause us to have good success and make our way prosperous, Lord. May the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. We love you and we thank you in
Amen.
Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Her Bro, His Sis. Catch your favorite siblings each month as we talk to you, our family in Christ. Want to chat or just stay in the know? Catch us on Facebook and Instagram at Her Bro, His Sis.